We back. What up, Swag? Hey, look, it's all good, man. Be natural.
I'm trying to get this last little piece of Rice Krispie treat, bro.
Hey, do your thing. Do your thing. Because you know what? You so sedity hood. I see you with the green flip-flop talking about if your feet touch the floor, the shower floor in the hotel room, you're nasty.
It's true.
Now, all them AAU tournaments, and you mean to tell me at LSU you had flip-flops when y'all went on the road and y'all took showers? You had flip-flops then? See?
Oh, absolutely. When I was a child, I acted and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Mm. Like, so I'm just telling you, bro, I don't get in showers in hotels without flip-flops on.
But look, you put something on my mind. I was like, what am I doing right now? I was like, I'm in a hotel room, and I'm like, I never really seen them really get down and get the scrub on. Yeah, no. I'm tripping.
Well, you know what? I'm so glad we started this podcast this way because that's really what's important.
Yeah.
Like, we got some housekeeping to do. We done missed our cousins and kinfolks. We got some things we got to get off our chest before we get into what we really need to talk about. But go ahead, man. Yeah, y'all put them flip-flops on in the shower. If you don't, you're nasty.
You nasty. For sure. Hey, look,
according to me.
I miss you. I know we've been away. I've been seeing you all over the TV, beard lined up, you performing. I say, look at him. Boy, he's in rap form right now. Hey, but you've been shining like new money. You've been shining like new money. I swear. And look, football season is here. All right. I understand we might need to talk about one basketball topic because I've been missing you. And look, I heard you on First Take, okay? And I've been wanting to come at you about this. I want to give you an opportunity.
You got more experience than me, but that's how I feel. You know I ain't changing my opinion.
I know that, but you don't even know if I agree with you or not.
See, you probably do. I hope you do.
So listen, here's the thing, right? This is what I want to ask you. Mm-hmm. The Lakers, okay? We got the Brooklyn Nets and we got the Lakers. Some type of way, they're still in the show for us in the media. Golden State Warriors won the championship, but here we are talking about the Nets all offseason and the Lakers. Patrick Beverley, Russell Westbrook, can it work? Yeah. Will it work? If you was on the team, how would you approach the locker room as a leader? I need to hear all this insight. You know what I'm saying? How you feel about this situation?
Man, listen, first and foremost, what's happening, cousins and kin folks? On this Lakers situation, I think it's going to work. I think it's going to work, Perk. And you know, being in the dynamic that we've been in locker rooms, bro, mm-hmm. I don't want fans to think that we all like each other. That's a lie. That's the falsest narrative about sports that's out there. We don't all like each other, but we know and we understand that we got a job to do. And see, this is usually the buffer in professional sports. I got to play well, and I got to play with you, and you got to play well, because this is how we take care of our family. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, I'm putting my family above how I feel about you. Now, I don't know if Russ and Pat Bev work it out where they become cool and they get past whatever differences they got, but ultimately, they better be thinking about they paycheck, they families, and what they got to do to try to win a championship. And that should supersede anything that they got going on personally. Because if you can't, like you say all the time, that's childish. It's childish.
It is. Look. you thought I was going to disagree with you, but I do agree with you, Swag. Because here's the thing, bro. This is what it comes down to. Okay? It comes down to this. At this point in their career, okay, the only thing that's on anybody's mind when you think about the Lakers, period, especially Russell Westbrook and Pat Beverley, is championship.
That's it, bro.
We're talking about grown-ass men.
Yes.
Veterans in the league, and people are wondering, are they going to like each other? They have no choice, okay?
They have no choice.
And I'm to the point where I trust Darvin Ham so much. As a guy that played the game, now I understand he haven't coached one NBA game yet. He's just getting off to his first head.
Man, a lot of coaching is understanding your players, man. He'll be fine.
I understand that, but it goes back to I saw during the postseason, Bobby Portis was having, you know, one of these rants on the sideline. You know who went over there and checked it? It was Darvin Ham. It wasn't Buck. So right there, it got my attention that he had the respect in that locker room, and he wasn't even the head coach.
Right.
Ron already
right.
signed off on him. He already talked about how he's going to put Russ in the best position to be successful. Mm-hmm. Now, let's get to Pat Bev and Russell Westbrook, okay?
That's what I want to hear from you.
Everybody keep focusing on offense, right? I think offense, if you play the right way and you play with great energy, some type of way you'll figure things out.
Bron and AD going to do all the scoring anyway.
Look, just figure it out. Here's where, and I said this before, I'm going to say it again on here to you and our cousins and kin folks. Pat Bev and Russell Westbrook has the potential to be the best defensive backcourt in the NBA because they're going to play together. They may not start, but they could play a lot of minutes together.
Right.
Here's why I say that. We already know what type of pest Pat Bev is on the defensive side. We get that. We already know that, right? As far as Russell Westbrook, let me ask you this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the most athletic point guard to ever play the game of basketball in your opinion?
Russell Westbrook.
Okay, Russell Westbrook. That's my may say Derrick Rose. Okay, cool. You can make a case.
D Rose was, but he got injured. Russell Westbrook still elite athletically right now. He's 40 years old. Go ahead. All right.
So athleticism ain't just jumping up and down. It's not how high you could jump. It's not, you know, that I'm just gonna snatch the screws out the rim. Athleticism comes to your vertical movement, lateral movement, things of that nature, right? All right, here's the thing. Russell Westbrook has never made an all-defensive team in his career.
He's too athletic not to have.
Thank you. You have the athleticism. You have the makeup. The only problem is that your mental is not in the right place. So if Russell Westbrook could go into this season saying, which Darvin Ham already called him out on it, basically, I want Russell Westbrook to be the best defender on the floor. If Russell Westbrook could be that, which he can because of his athleticism, his mind in the right place, then all of a sudden, Patrick Beverly and Russell Westbrook can coexist. The offense can figure out itself.
Bro, listen. It's about to, like, I love when we get on this podcast and we talk about it because it goes so far beyond basketball. Russell Wilson can learn a thing or two. I mean, Russell Westbrook can learn a thing or two. You know I'm in football mode. Russell Westbrook can learn a thing or two from Pat Bev on that end of the floor.
Come on now.
Like, now, you got to humble yourself and say, man, because, look, I know people call Pat Bev a pest. Pat Bev is a really good defensive player, bro.
That's his career.
In his career. So however you define it, he a pass, he or whatever. So? He's a really good defender, and he take it seriously, and that's what he wants to do. That's how Pat Beverly has signed a one-year, $13 million contract because of defense. They ain't paying him to come score. They ain't paying him to do all that. They paying him to come and be a defensive specialist. My daughter play volleyball. They give scholarships to girls in college to be defensive specialists.
Yes.
They give scholarships for it. So the one thing, you could say Pat Bev crazy and all that. The one thing Pat Bev has owned, just like I think PJ Tucker has, man, I know my role. And my role can lend itself to a championship.
He's a star in his role.
Swag,
he's one of the few players in the NBA that could score 0 points, play 30-plus minutes, and have a big effect on the game to determine the outcome.
You know Rico Hines. You know they run how the runs in open gym. For everybody that don't know Rico Hines, it's the dude put open gym runs for a lot of NBA players out there. It's a big, like, everybody goes. Steph was there last week, but Pat Bev was there, and he was talking about, hey bro, you better own where you at in this league.
You're gonna have
one or two dudes that can hoop and score all the points. You better be working to get better at your craft.
Yeah.
And Draymond said the similar thing because they both role players.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to Pat Bev being with the Lakers and his relationship with Russell Westbrook, if Russ decides, all right, yeah, we might not rock with each other after we leave practice, and don't nobody care. Like, I got a family, you got people. I don't care. Russ got a family. Russ ain't trying to do all that. You know, camaraderie is good, and you need to have your dinners and all of that. But all of that stuff pales in comparison to what we can actually learn and how we can challenge each other in practice and on defense. Right?
Right.
You may see them butt heads during the season, and everybody going to start going crazy. I knew they hate. No, it may be a conversation of Pat Bev challenging Russell Westbrook. Hey, man, I need you to lock down, bro. I need you to lock in and lock down. Or I need you to get buckets on the other end, and I'm going to handle business when we get on this end. Like, so I think they coexist, one, because they older players, and both of them need a championship, all right? And the second thing is, are we forgetting that arguably the best leader to ever play basketball is on that team still in LeBron James?
Yeah.
Like I know everything don't always circle back to LeBron James, but how can we, like, let's give some validity to the fact that LeBron James has already managed personalities that don't rock with each other in locker rooms.
Right.
And ended up in championships. So that's what I got on that part.
But bro, they grown. I feel like, man, they can find a way to make it work. I feel like, you know, Pat Bev is a guy that's all about winning. I feel like Russell Westbrook at this point in his career and the season that he had last season, GMs are looking at him. This is the word around town, okay? They're looking at him to see if he could buy into a lesser role and buy into actually winning. And can he be a key part to a team that's trying to contend or win a championship? Yeah. Period.
And ain't that what kept Melo out for a couple of years? Is that
yes. Yeah, okay. Yes. Yeah. So at this point, he has no choice. Okay, cool.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Basketball over. I need to get to that Rydell. It's Rydell season. It's Rydell season. Yes, forget basketball right now, Swag. It's Rydell season. Here's the thing. One, I need to come out and I need to ask you this.
Okay.
Who's your Super Bowl pick? Who you got to win the Super Bowl?
I got the Chargers.
The Chargers?
Yeah, that's what I thought your face was going to do. See, we can become cliche. All right, and we did last year. We made the mistake last year in basketball. We said it'll be the Lakers and it'll be the Nets. You remember that? You remember that whole conversation before the season started? I know, look, bro, right now the Buffalo Bills are the darling of the dance. And the Los Angeles Rams is the consensus pick to come out of the NFC to go to the Super Bowl. I'm taking the Chargers, man. And you can be mad about it, but the Chargers good. And they added some pieces this year that could make a difference in winning the championship with a couple guys signing Khalil Mack. They signed one of the better corners, J.C. Jackson, in the league. Bro, Justin Herbert is a bona fide star. You got to have that at quarterback if you want to win a Super Bowl. Man, I'm going with the Chargers, bro. Don't be making your face like that, bro.
I'm not. I think the Chargers have a good shot of
it's a solid pick, right?
Playoffs. I think Justin Herbert is really, really good. I think he is. But guess what? He ain't better than Joe Burrow. And I don't know why people keep sleeping on old Joe, but I'm not, all right? I'm not sleeping on old Joe in the Bengals this year.
Him going back?
Didn't they improve their offensive line?
They sure did.
Okay, they improved their offensive line. That's really all they needed to do.
Burrow. See, this would make me mad. You just made me mad. Why? See, this is what happens. I make a pick. And you don't pick that team, and then you got to act like you mad that I picked a different team. Yeah, both probably going to be wrong.
I know, but it was the setup. It was the setup. Sometimes I throw the lob to set you up. Sometimes I throw the lob, you know what I'm saying, to make you look good. Here's the thing, right? Joe Burrow and the Bengals. That's who I'm rolling with.
Per, you really think they going back?
I do.
Okay.
Here's why.
That's not bad, bro. That's not a bad pick.
I think that Chase and Joe Burrow is the dangerous offensive duo in the league. Okay. Yep. No matter how you try to scheme for it, for some reason, you can't stop it. And yep. We all know when you get to the postseason, that scout report get a little thicker. And so teams start to plan for you. And they know these two got a connection. They know that they're going to Chase some type of way. They know that Joe Burrow is trying to find him in the clutch moments. They still couldn't stop.
They couldn't do nothing. They couldn't do nothing with it. Thank God for Aaron Donald, because they would have won a Super Bowl if Aaron Donald wouldn't have got a sack at the end of the game.
Thank you. And here's another thing. Joe Burrow did that, bro, and he wasn't even 100% healthy.
And wasn't being protected.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Listen, man. I hate it. Bro, see, we've been around each other too much, and we be trying to tell cousins and kid folks we be into these other sports. We be into the sports that we didn't play.
Yeah.
I hate that you said that, because the last like week and a half, 2 weeks has been all about the disrespect for the Bengals. And I'm so glad you picked them to win the Super Bowl because they legitimately got a shot. But I think you know how it is with fans, bro. If you don't pick their team, you hating on their team.
Yeah, you hate.
Like you hating. And I'm not, bro. The Bengals are going to be a top team in the league. I just picked the team that I think is going to win it.
I'm not mad at the Chargers.
Ain't like we said the Texans. Ain't like we said the Texans or the Jets.
We ain't going to never say that.
No, we ain't going to say that.
The Texans. I don't know the Texans shit. I don't know. The Texans ain't got it. They ain't got it, dog. They ain't got it. Hey, but look, here's the thing, right? I'm not even mad at your pick. I love Justin Herbert, for real.
Yeah.
I love it what they have done over there. He got a nice receiving core. I feel like their defense is really, really strong. I mean, anything could happen. We know that.
Bro, that team last year was 9-8, all right? And a lot of those losses came on the heels of their coach making poor decisions on fourth down. I think he's grown. He going to learn from that. They beat the Chiefs last year. They beat the Raiders last year. They beat Denver twice last year. That's all in their division. Now, all of those teams have gotten better, but the Los Angeles Chargers did the most work at getting better to me in that division.
Okay. No, and I'm okay with that.
Okay. So all right.
Look, this is what I do. See, let me confess. All I do is sit back and I watch you, and I watch you tweet during football season, and I just go watch the game, and I basically just steal your stuff. And
it's okay. You know I'm locked in.
Okay. I know you.
You know I'm locked in.
I called you. You done told me I'm gonna call you back tomorrow. I'm watching film. I'm like, dog, you're not even playing.
Hey, man.
I know.
Hey, bro, let me tell you something. Today, this will happen today. I'm glad you brought that up. Today, so I messed up on some games that happened last year. The Bengals fans got mad at me today. Because yesterday I was on SportsCenter and I said that the Bengals played against the Ravens without Lamar Jackson, which they did. Lamar was playing. He was still injured, but he was playing. Right. And they, you know, obviously they look for us to mess up. Like, so they can start going crazy. But Perk, here's the beauty of Swaggle and Perk.
Talk to me.
I said, players mess up. I'm going to mess up some more. I'm going to forget things from 2020 and 2021. Next week, I might mess up again. But I'm gonna stand up and say, hey, I was wrong. I own that. But here's my point, though. Here's my point in saying that.
What?
My point in saying that is that's when you know it's football season.
That's when you know
just like when you in the NBA see, when people start keeping receipts – and they start coming at you about something, you know you in the middle of it. And I was so happy that they caught me on that because it's football season. If I would have said that in May or June, nobody would have even paid attention. Bro, but now everybody locked in.
You in the trenches.
I'm in there.
So what? You in the trenches. So look, hey, here's the next thing, right? We got our Super Bowl picks. You know, if you'd have made me think about the Chargers a little bit, cool. All right, I'm with that. Here's the thing we get into next. Before we get into the sleeper team, which I want to know who's your sleeper team, I need to know who you got picked winning the MVP. Yeah, put them on. Put on them 9-5ers, boy. They fresh, too. They fresh.
I got to focus. I got to focus on this question.
I know you didn't pull out the circles.
I sure did.
Ooh. Okay. Are you showing out? You showing out.
I'm what the young folks say. I'm showing my ass. That's what I'm doing. Okay. So you want my MVP pick? That's what you just asked?
Yeah, I need to know. The world needs
Lamar. Lamar Himothy Jackson. I named him Himothy in the middle because he is him. Bro, Lamar finna go crazy this year, bro. Listen. Lamar is not only already in line to make $200+ million guaranteed, but they playing with his money, I believe. And he understands that if he goes and he gets a league MVP this year, that leverage that he already has, make no mistake about it, Lamar Jackson got a tremendous amount of leverage right now with the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah. If he said he was going to hold out, we'd be in a completely different place. The Ravens would be panicking. But being the dude that he is riding for his teammates more than dealing with the contract. He's putting himself at risk because of the dudes in the locker room, and he want to be there for them and ball out. I got Lamar Himothy Johnson III Jackson winning the league MVP this year. That's who I got, Perk. I ain't going to spend a lot of time on it. I'm just telling you. Now, who you got?
Man, I'm not even mad at the Lamar situation. You know what? I actually want him to win the MVP. I do. I want him to win the MVP. I want him to win. I do. But I'm staying with Cincinnati. I'm staying in Ohio, dog.
You going to Burrow for this?
Yes, Joe Bizzle is winning the MVP this year. I'm telling you, I'm all the way in on them. I'm telling you, I'm bought in. I'm sold. This guy has proven us that he could do whatever you want. He has all the capabilities and everything that you want in a star, superstar caliber quarterback.
That's true.
He handles the pressure with it. He can make the four quarter drives, 2 minute drives. Put his team in position to be successful. Set up his teammates. Control the pace of the game. Speed up the tempo. Whatever you need him to do, he's
going to
do.
You better get in your bag. Get in your NFL bag.
I'm trying to tell you, I've been waiting on this, man. I ain't lying. I've been waiting on it. Listen, I'm telling you right now, Joe Burrow, dog.
Okay.
And I'm saying this because what he had, the injury that he had, and the season that he had last season, that's not normal.
It's not, bro. You're right
about
that.
It's not normal. So now we're about
to. And he got hit a lot last year, too.
He got hit. They didn't move the offensive line. So now he's coming back. He's 2 years. He's going to be on his second year removed from the surgery. We might not even see the knee brace no more. Now he's coming back. He's healthier. You know what I'm saying? Better line. We already know. We saw, like, it was times last season where we was like, man, he still ran out the pocket, but he still didn't look 100%. Like,
yeah, you're right. You could tell he was laboring a little bit.
Ain't no more of that.
Ain't no more.
Ain't no more of that.
Now, and he got some.
And he want all the smoke.
He do. That's what you got to love about it. You know how I am about Joe Burrow.
I know that. I know that.
I'm a Joe Burrow fan.
I have to remind you sometime. I have to remind you sometime about that dude, man.
Perk, you know what, bro?
Remember the last time y'all won the college championship?
2019, Joe Burrow led the way.
That's what I'm saying, dog.
I can't stand you, dog. I can't stand you. I still love my LSU brethren, man, but golly, you make a good argument for that boy with that offensive line.
I'm staying all the way in Cincinnati so much that might be my new team this season.
I was just about to ask you, you a free agent on the market in the fan draft, and you ain't got no team, and you keep – Cincinnati done been the last two picks for these topics. I've been trying to convert you back. Let me remind everybody. Perk was a Cowboy fan, left the Cowboys and went to the damn Arizona Cardinals.
Yep.
And then he threw with the Cardinals now. And now it sounds like you finna pace yourself to be a Cincinnati Bengals fan. No, bro. I'ma need you down there in that Big D, bro. I need you to come back home.
No.
Come back home to them Cowboys, bro.
I need to go to sleep. Bro. I don't want to.
Ride the roller coaster with me.
I don't need to finish or go into Mondays or Tuesdays or even Fridays stressed out. I don't, bro. I don't need the emotional roller coaster. I want consistency. Here's the thing. Have I turned my back on the Arizona Cardinals? Yes. I have completely turned my back on them. And here's why I turned my back on them. I have a problem. I love Kyler Murray, Texas boy. I get all that. I get it. But, bro, you can't – the stuff that went on with his contract and then all it's of a sudden
– yeah.
That is hard for me to become a fan. You know, I'm not in the locker room, but I can't stay on that way. Now, if they come out, you know, and do their thing, I'm still not jumping back on the bandwagon. They can have it.
So you got Cincinnati winning the bowl. You got Joe Burrow winning the MVP.
Yeah.
Are you saying today on the podcast, on the opening day of the NFL season, that you have entered the Cincinnati Bengals fan club?
Yeah.
Man, bro, that's so disappointing.
I'm
so disappointed, bro. I'm so disappointed.
Why?
Because I'm supposed to be your brother, dog. I'm trying to get you to come. I want to go through this together. It's easier when you can go through things together.
But it's easier.
Now, all season, I'm going to probably deal with you with a level of consistency and winning, and I'm going to be over here on the roller coaster. Riding it, trying to figure out if we going to be going up this week or we going to be taking a nosedive. And I'm going to need you for emotional support. And you done already went to Cincinnati.
But here's the thing, though. Swag. It's not like I'm trying to leave you. You got an open invitation. You have an open invitation. You can do the same thing. You have all – here's the crazy part. You have all the reason in the world to jump on the Cincinnati train right now.
I know.
All the reason in the world.
You ever saw that meme when they be asking the women and their husband be looking busted up and they be like, "He mine. I'm gonna stick by him." That's what I'm doing with the Cowboys. I ain't going nowhere, bro. I'm going to be an analyst. I'm going to be professional. I don't have the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl. I don't have them going to the NFC Championship. I got them making a wild card. I got them being in the wild card in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to win nothing significant. But I'm going to still be a fan. Every Sunday, I'm going to ride and die emotionally with the Dallas Cowboys. Let me put that out there right now. Okay. I know all of our cousins and kin folks, we got fans of every team in the NFL. I am going to ride with the Dallas Cowboys until y'all no longer know me, okay? That's it. Perk, wishy-washy. Don't trust him when it comes to supporting your team. Do not trust him.
What you mean? I'm trying to protect my peace.
No, you don't protect your peace when you being a fan. You go with what is happening, bro. The Dallas Cowboys should be the team that you root for, because I'm going to tell you this, too. Don't come on that side when we actually start and win something big. Don't be talking about, "Ooh, I should have been over there. I should have came over there."
When?
I don't know when. I'm gonna be there when it happened.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Hey, look, we good though.
Okay.
That open invitation is still there. Here's the thing. We get into the sleepers. I know mine. I know you might blow a gasket in a moment, but I know my sleeper.
Who? Who, man?
I know my sleeper. You ready for this? I know the man took a lot of heat. He took a lot of heat. He took a lot of heat from former players, from fans, you know what I'm saying? And they ran him up out of Cleveland. I get it.
Oh, my God.
I get it. But for some strange reason.
No, you ain't.
Oh, yes, I am. The Carolina Panthers. I'm going with the Carolina Panthers as my sleeper. I think that Baker Mayfield is going to do his thing this year. His thing. I think he's going to shine. I think he's going to He gonna prove a lot of people wrong. And I feel like he has it on his mind. And I feel like his team is not that bad. Now, listen, some things happen, man, and it's unfortunate. But, you know, he's in a position now where he really don't have to be looking over his shoulder. He's starting week one, right? Pretty okay, cool. And I feel like the Panthers got support there behind him, and I feel like he's on a mission. They're going to be my sleeper team. Now, look, just because I said they're my sleeper team, I don't expect them to win a Super Bowl, but I do expect them to make the playoffs. And I think that Baker Mayfield is going to come out and shine, and he's going to do his thing, and I'm done.
You make me sick. Cousins and Ken, folks, y'all about to win this a first. It's about to be a first on the Swagger with Perk podcast.
What's wrong?
You are out of your damn mind. That's the first time I'd have never told you that. You have lost your last piece of sense in your brain picking the Carolina Panthers to be a sleeper. Bro, let me tell you something, dog. You and Dan Orlovsky, see, I think I know what has happened, okay? You have let Dan influence you.
No.
Because Dan got them going to the playoffs, too, talking about Baker Mayfield about to have his best season yet. Why? For what reason? Why do you think Baker Mayfield going to have a blowout season with the Carolina Panthers when they got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints in their own division?
Yeah, but here's the thing. He wasn't healthy last year.
I know that. 2020. Okay, let's go back to 2020. Let me pull my phone out since he had such a damn great year as a quarterback. Let me go back to 2020. Let me tell you what Baker Mayfield did in 2020. I got you. Hold on. I'm just going to Google this because, you know, people be mad when I get stuff wrong. 2020, Baker Mayfield. Oh, I know they went to the playoffs. Nick Chubb ran for 750,000 yards that year, okay? Let me pull up Baker Mayfield 2020 stats since that's the year that y'all go back to. In 2020, Baker Mayfield threw for 3,500 yards, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, had a 95 QBR. That's great. That's a great year. That's the year that all of y'all are pointing to for Baker Mayfield to go to resurrect the Carolina Panthers. Okay, let me tell you what. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you 2020. Let's go 2020. Let me just think of a random.
Let me go right now.
Yeah, I'm pissed off. Let me go 2020. Derek Carr. You know what Derek Carr did in 2020? Derek Carr threw for 4,100 yards, 27 touchdowns, and 9 interceptions. Had a 101 QBR rating. Derek Carr. No, but no. I want to go to these damn great season that y'all talking about Baker Mayfield had. Derek Carr. Everybody thinks of him as a really good quarterback. Oh, but let me go to 2020. Let me go to 2020 stats. Let me go to 2020 stats. No, matter of fact, I can't go 2020. Dak was hurt in 2020. Let me go to Dakota Rain Prescott in 2019. 4,900 yards, 30 touchdowns, 11 picks, and 100 QBR. But Dak not even in the tier, I'm about to tell you. Let me do this. Since Baker Mayfield gone, let me go. Because these dudes in his division. Let me go 2020, Thomas Patrick, Edward Brady. Thomas Edward Brady, 2020, 4,600 yards, 40 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. So you and Dan Orlovsky telling me that Baker Mayfield with the Carolina Panthers going to outplay Tom Brady and Jameis Winston. He ain't outplaying Jameis Winston. I'm telling you right now, he's not going to outplay him. So he going to finish third in this division, and y'all got him going to the playoffs. Let me get off that soapbox. I got love for Baker Mayfield.
You okay?
We gotta stop acting like this 2020 season was some MVP campaign.
I just said he was my sleeper, big bro.
Okay, but you got me emotional. He's not supposed to be.
And then you throw me in there with Dan, and I'm like,
because he got them going to the playoffs too. First of all, we ain't gonna talk about Dan on Swaggle and Perk. I get enough of him. I'm about to see him now. Here's the thing. Here's my sleeper, so we can get past it. New Orleans Saints. Yeah. The Saints are the sleeper. And then if Michael Thomas coming back, Alvin Kamara is already an elite star, a superstar in the NFL. People forget, Alvin Kamara had a game last year. He scored 5 touchdowns in a game. They drafted Chris Olave, who I thought was the best wide receiver coming out in this draft this year.
Yeah.
They got him. He already put penciled in the start. Oh, by the way, they went and added Jarvis Landry. They went and got Jarvis Landry from Cleveland. Baker Mayfield guy. Baker Mayfield had people thinking Odell Beckham Jr. couldn't play football no more.
Why are we going back to this?
All right. Anyway, let's get past that. All right. Look, man, let me take this somewhere. That's some good NFL talk. I hate your sleeper team, but that Joe Burrow and that Cincinnati train, that thing rolling. I ain't going to lie. That's a good one.
I might be 3-0, though.
You might be 3-0 if it's a big if.
Yeah.
It's like the if you get for balloons at a 4-year-old birthday party where they fill up the whole. That's a big if that Baker Mayfield get to the playoffs. I want to talk about Tom Brady. All right, because I want to talk to you about. We know Tom Brady great. We know Tom Brady one of the best players in the league. The greatest quarterback ever to play. But Perk, Brady retired. Came back and then had to take an 11-day hiatus away from training camp. I'm not concerned about the football part, bro. What do you think is going on with Tom Brady mentally? Why he had to step away from the game? I think it's family stuff.
It is.
I don't know if it's.
No, it ain't no thing. It is family. I mean, at this point, what is Tom? Tom
45. 45.
Like. You know what I'm saying? Kids are getting older.
Yep.
Wife done been to enough games. You know, but in his heart, he still want to be there.
Yeah.
Right? So he got half his heart. It's cut in half. It's like, man, the family want me here. Man, it's feeling at home, feel great. But I'm still looking over here like, man, I got something else to go. I still got love here. That's a problem. I think that's what Tom dealing with. And it's okay. You know what? Yeah. That's a good problem to have. You know what's crazy? Most people have bad problems. real, like, they have horrible problems. Tom Terrific have good problems. Even his bad problems are good problems.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't know on the family piece, bro. Like, it's something going on with his family. I am comfortable enough saying that. I hate speculating on dudes' families, but it's something going on with that. Because for him to retire and then decide to unretire, and then he had to step away in the middle of training camp, we all know Tom is the ultimate preparer. We know he want to be there and involved. But, when you say I can't rock. Like, bro, if your marriage is in question because you coming back and play football or if you neglecting – because – let's be honest, Perk. When we professional athletes, we neglect our families. And I'm not saying it in a negative way.
No, we
neglect our families. We not there, bro. Right. Like, we are not there. That's the reality. The reality is, we doing something for them, and we doing things to take care of them, but we not there. You know what I'm saying? And I think for me, man, like, if you was to ask me to speak for Giselle, his wife, is Giselle Bunch, who has had and has a phenomenal career herself being a supermodel and at was making more money than Tom if she not still making more money than Tom. So it ain't financial. You got to think about this for a second, Perk. Your wife. So we don't need the money. That's the number one conversation, right?
Right.
We don't need the money. So the second conversation is we got kid in high school. Like, you've been doing this for 23 years.
Yeah.
You've accomplished everything. Bro, if Tom Brady win 8 Super Bowls, we not going to throw a parade for that. We going to just say, "Oh, he got more than the person that had the most." Guess who the person that had the most is? Him.
Yeah, it is him.
So we not going, like, it's 8 Super Bowls to 7 is not going to change. We already think you the GOAT.
Right. Right.
You know, we already think you're the great. So I'm putting myself in his wife's position, and I'm saying, like, bro, now this becomes about you choosing football before us. And I think that's what's going on. I think the conversation shifts, right? I believe she supported him up until a certain point, and now it's like, dog, like you said you was done.
And it should shift because he's seven years removed from being considered a senior citizen.
Bro.
So it's like, and that's a joke, but seriously,
yeah,
though,
yeah.
It's like, man, listen. It's like to this point, it's like you done did, you done accomplished everything. And I get it, man. It's so hard to
walk away, like, bro. Yeah, you're right. It's hard.
It's hard as hell. But the good thing about it is that he have the option to walk away.
Yeah.
Some of us was forced into retirement.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? You actually have the option to walk away at 45 years old and be considered the GOAT. The greatest of all time.
And all the accomplishments you could possibly accomplish.
Thank you.
Like that's why I'm like, man, I'm putting myself in Giselle's. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Like, because for me, I'm speaking on another man white, but I'm being hypothetical because that's kind of how I would think the conversation would go. But for me, bro, like, this is me talking about Tom Brady. Bro, at this point, it's your ego, bro.
It is your ego.
Like, at this point, you playing because of your ego. You're not playing because you want to see if you could throw for more yards or throw more touchdowns or prove that you could still. We know you could still play. You know you can still play. Yeah. And that's been the reason people been giving about why he coming back. He can still play. He threw for 5,300 yards. Bro, Tom Brady going to have another good season?
Yeah.
Like, we all know that. So, you whatever this pursuit is now is about you, and it's selfish. It's how people around you is going to look at it. Like, that's the reality of it, bro. So I just, man, look, I ain't in the business of telling a man what to do. I'm just talking about how it look. Like, how it looks now is that Tom, it looked like you just, it's ego, bro. Like,
it looked like that for sure. And I think
tough.
I do think this. I don't know if he's already said it, but I'm willing to bet everything that I got that this is going to be his last year.
Yeah, bro, it gotta be, bro.
Yeah, it gotta be. Like,
it gotta be.
And we gonna miss you, but we didn't. You have not disappointed us. So
you have given us everything.
Yeah, man. Not gonna
give us everything.
Go give it to you.
He is. Tom Brady is Tom Brady is the. He's the type of story in sports that is one in a billion times changed.
Yes. Yes.
Like. Nobody expected it. You wasn't highly recruited. You wasn't highly drafted. You willed your way to being the greatest of all time. Like, when we point to prime Deion Sanders, Deion had athleticism like very few humans. When we point at any other GOAT in any other sport, they came out of high school as an All-American. We knew they was going to be good when they was 13, 14 years old. Tom Brady was nothing to write home about. Even at the University of Michigan. Yeah. Like, he is the story that like, bro, I changed my body. I worked my tail off. I leaned into what I actually could do good. And then I evolved in this. I still say, though, Perk, you coming back to play football at 45 after you've thrown for 5,300 yards and 40 touchdowns, if you coming back to win a Super Bowl and you got 7 and your family wants you home, your wife wants you home, you need to check your ego, fam.
Real talk.
That's what
I'm with you on that.
You know what I'm saying? Because at this point, that's what you're doing. And then, too, not to mention how, like, bro, this game is unforgiving now. You could get injured bad. We don't like to think that way. And I don't think you're talking about an injury that's going to debilitate it, but it has happened.
It has happened. And, we just talked about it. You get to retire on your own.
On your terms.
Like, you just go out in great fashion right now.
Yeah, man.
Period.
Yeah, man.
You didn't done it. Man. Here's the thing. So since we stand on GOATs, I need you to take us home. All right?
Oh, yeah.
I need you
to
take us home. And we got to talk about Serena. You know what I'm saying? We got to talk about Serena Williams. We got to talk about, you know, how she blessed us with her GOAT presence. You know what I mean?
Man.
A whole story. We all know a whole story. I need you to take us home about what she has meant to the whole sports world, not just tennis, but the encouragement for the female athletes and things like that, the inspiration. I need you to take us home. Take us home.
First and foremost, let me jump this off with this. Serena Williams is a top 5 athlete of all time.
Yes.
I ain't say female athlete. Top 5 athlete of all time.
Absolutely.
She's clearly the GOAT of women's tennis.
Yeah.
Clearly. It's like not even – you can make arguments about other people, but you're just doing that because you want to argue. She's the GOAT of women's tennis. And you can make an argument she's the GOAT of tennis. But seeing her play in this U.S. Open for me – And yeah, I was rooting for and wanting her to win the U.S. Open. But for me, bro, I realize the impact that Serena Williams has had on people and, more importantly, black girls, bro. Like, they show her journey from 17 to where she played in this U.S. Open at 40. And by the way, in that U.S. Open, she beat the number two player in the world at 40 years old. First of all, when you playing tennis, ain't nobody out there.
Ain't nobody. Like,
Jordan had teammates. LeBron had teammates. Wayne Gretzky had teammates. Tom Brady had teammates. A lot of their success was predicated on other people. Serena won all this by her damn self.
Individual greatness.
Individual greatness, right?
A sport, and let me chime in. A sport where your career is based on you winning championships. See, and I'm telling people, like, that's the difference between, like, basketball, football, baseball. Like, a guy could be individually, a player could be individually good, and that's the conversation that we have about Braun. Like, his record in the finals ain't this. Well, guess what? He did what he was supposed to do. He just didn't have the team. But now when you talk about Serena, it ain't about no team. It's about what she did. Mano and what she got accomplished because she had to win in order to be what she had today.
No doubt. And, bro, I even separated from golf because tennis is such a taxing sport on your body. And Serena was out there at 40 competing with 23-year-olds.
Yes. And look, you know what's crazy? What's our guy name that just beat Nadal?
Tiafo.
Man, listen. So I watched I watched his match the other day. The match was 3 hours and 36 minutes.
Bro, do you see the sweat and how they look after it's over?
I said, hold on, I just watched this match for 3 hours and 36 minutes. Yeah. It didn't feel real.
That's a good way for me and you to lose weight. It's just our knees are break down before we got through one set. It was just break down.
Mine already.
But anyway, man, let me get back. Like, Serena Williams, man, first of all, thank you, Serena. Mm-hmm. Like, shout out to you from the Swaggoo and Perk podcast.
Absolutely. We appreciate you.
Like, we appreciate you for the level of greatness and the longevity of greatness. But more importantly, seeing, and I say black girls because that was something that wasn't open to them. And nobody ever thought that a black woman would ascend to what it was in tennis. Tennis, first of all, is a very expensive sport to play. And we know that our communities a lot of the times are in poverty, and a lot of times we don't have the access to tennis clubs. And obviously everybody saw the movie and how much help that she needed and all of that stuff. But the fact that she persevered and went through and we were able to watch, think about this, bro. It's a movie out about Serena Williams and Venus Williams and the Williams family and her father when Will Smith played, and she still played while the movie is out.
That's, like, that's legendary. Like,
that's legendary, bro. Yeah, like,
yes.
I don't know. Have we had any GOATs with movies out about their journey that still was playing? Like, Jordan had Space Jam, but that wasn't about Jordan's journey.
About Jordan. Like, the Last Dance was about Jordan.
Exactly, man. So,
yeah, man.
It's just her accomplishments. I'm in awe of her. She's a great business mind. She's a mother now. Got a daughter. Got family. Like, I'm in awe. The fact that she was able to go out and do what she did in the U.S. Open. But the impact that she's had beyond tennis will be Serena Williams' legacy, right? Like, that's her legacy.
For sure.
And she did for the black community like Tiger did for golf. She made us start watching tennis, like, at a high clip.
Yeah.
My mom is a huge tennis fan. Like, my mom has been a tennis fan forever. So I kind of, you know, in passing, I done seen her watching Martina Navratilova. I saw her watch when Arthur Ashe used to play Andre Agassi. She watched Nadal. She watched Djokovic. She watched all of these people, right? But when Serena on, my mom is like, it's like an event.
It is.
And she got a tremendous amount of respect for everybody else, but it's an event when she watched Serena.
It's not an event. It's a ceremony.
It's a ceremony. It is. It is. It is. Yeah, man. So that's it, bro. Let's end this on a note. That was a really good high note with Serena. Man, I need you to tell people in our old age what be happening to us. What the hell? I'm about to put you on blast. Cousin Ken Folks, Perk called me on FaceTime a week ago. And this man sends me, this man called me on FaceTime. Hey, I'm wrong, but I don't give a damn. This man is laid up with his leg perched in the air, talking about, dog, something happened to me. Bro, tell the people what happened to you, because I'm embarrassed.
What?
I'm going to be honest. I'm embarrassed.
Well, if you're embarrassed, just think about how I feel, all right, when it happened. I'm coming home, and I realized that I had to stop the Petco. So I get out the car. I'm walking. I got my Crocs on. I'm walking walking inside a Petco. I slip, right? I take a step with my right foot. I slip. So I'm trying to catch myself from falling. I'm like, oh, I hear my knee buckle. Boom.
Ooh.
Right? So now I'm like, So I hit the ground. Boom, right in front of the front door. I see my knee start to swell up, right? So I'm in front of Petco, knee swole up.
Immediately swelling.
Yes, I'm scared to get up. I'm scared to get up real life. I'm scared to get up because I don't know if I get up. I don't know if it might snap. I don't know what's going on, right? So I'm sitting there and I'm like, So good
you
man.
You was by yourself?
I was by myself. So a man walked by. He like, man, are you okay? I'm like, nah. I'm like, nah. So he's like, what you want? You need any help? I'm like, nah, man, call the paramedics, right? So he called the paramedics. I called my wife. I'm like, look, man, I'm in front of Petco. I just slipped and I hurt my knee. So she fly up there, right? She fly up there. She's speeding and stuff. She like, oh, she get there. Paramedics already got me, right? Paramedics get there. They like, oh, come on. So the dude like, here, you need some help? I'm like, look, you ain't about to help me up by extending a hand. We need to figure this out. You know what I'm saying? Two of y'all get to the back, lift me up on my arm, and we gonna get up together. So they get me up, they get me on the stretcher, you know what I'm saying? Put me in the paramedics, right? My wife.
You had to get put on the stretcher.
Yeah.
You couldn't even get in the wheelchair.
No,
you just embarrassing us on this podcast. Yeah, Go ahead. Yeah.
I get in the paramedics and they drive me to the hospital because I need to go.
Did you get strapped down? You were strapped down on the bed?
I was strapped down. And so I was strapped down. So here's the thing. I had to make sure it wasn't no structural damage. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't no structural damage. So I get there, they take x-rays. No structural damage. My knee.
Good. So thank God for that.
I got my MRI coming up on Tuesday. You know what I'm saying? I got to go figure out what's going on. But you know what my wife tell me? She like, yo, big dumbass would fall outside the stove.
Outside the stove. We can't sue him.
I didn't think about it. I said, damn.
You can't sue nobody.
Bro, I would fall outside this though. You know what I'm saying?
You needed a life alert.
So I've been walking around for the last weeks with a damn limp, bro. Like, real time. I'm limping
bro,
around.
Get you a, like a crutch or something, bro.
I'm not getting no crutch, man.
You want to be tough.
I'm not doing all that. Don't look cute.
You better not buckle. You better not buckle again.
Buckled a few times. I'm telling you, man. I don't know what it is, but I know something going on in there. And
yeah.
To be honest, I keep pushing my MRI date back because I'm scared. You know what I'm saying?
You don't know what you're going to find.
But it's not even that. I know they're going to find something. But my thing is, I'm not having surgery, dog. Not right now. Man, yeah, man.
Now's the time, though. Now's the time.
I'm not having surgery, bro.
You probably ain't got nothing but you needed to get probably cleaned out or something. See, this is how pro athletes talk. Everybody like, oh, it ain't nothing. Bro, you probably got a meniscus or something. You just need to get cleaned out.
I don't need that meniscus. I don't hoop no more. I don't hoop no more. I just need to be able to be focused. I don't need the meniscus. I'm telling you, it's something that I could
take it out.
I'm not hooping. Okay. I don't hoop no more. No.
Well, look, man, cousins and kinfolks, y'all send a prayer for our brother, Big Perk, because he ain't going to do right, and it's going to take the Lord to fix him, because obviously y'all just heard him. He ain't going to have no surgery.
Yeah.
Bro, let me tell you something, man. We've been away for a minute, cousins and kin folks. We love y'all. We miss y'all. We handling business. We about to be back in rhythm. I'm traveling every week, so I'll be up in Bristol. We going to get these podcasts rolling. We love y'all, man. That's it. Appreciate y'all rocking with us, still asking for it, even though it ain't been there. Big bro, I love you, man.
Love you, man. My brother.
I'm going to text you. I'm going to text you. You're going to get that knee checked out. And yeah, if you got to get it cleaned up, you're going to get it cleaned up.
I'm going to get it checked out.
I got to have you fully functional, dog. We got big stuff coming up in 2022 and 2023.
All this okay. I don't need my legs.
Peace out, cousins and kinfolk. This has been Swag with Perk. Much love, y'all.